the substance or assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Amplified Bible does read it as, now faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. Divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. The conviction of their reality, faith comprehends as a fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Is everybody here born again today?
Amen.
You've accepted. Yeah. Then you have faith.
Yes,
yeah. Amen. You have faith today. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Now let's go back up to that word please for a moment. When we think of the word please, we automatically, our natural person, natural man wants to think, please is something I've got to do to make somebody approve of me, to gain somebody's favor. Amen. To look good in their eyes. But hold on. I've got a Greek definition of it. And it actually means in full agreement with. Now let's read it this way. But without faith, it is impossible to come in full agreement with God. So you know that you have faith. And it is possible to come into full agreement with God. Don't that just do something to you when you take out that word please from the vocabulary? Just take it out. And you just say, it's impossible to for without faith it is impossible to come in full agreement with God. But you have faith. So therefore you can come into full agreement with God.
Amen.
Amen? You don't have faith to try to get God's favor. Amen? You don't have faith to try to please God. You have faith to come into full agreement with what is already been established, which is this, a settled word. Amen? So when we think of the word please, that's how we need to think of it. Full agreement. Diligently seek comes from the two same Greek words that we say those that diligently seek him. Those words diligently and seek come from the same Greek word, meaning to search out, means to crave or to worship. So he goes on to say that he is a rewarder of them that worship me, that crave me, that seek me out, that make themselves hungry for me. You make yourself hungry for God by getting to know him in his word, through his word, not head knowledge, but knowledge of the Spirit through his word. So those that diligently, those that crave after me, those that hunger and thirst after me, those that worship me, amen, diligently seek him. He said, I'll be a rewarder of those that do that. Everyone saved and unsaved alike have a natural human faith. You have a natural human faith. But the word that we're talking of faith this morning is a supernatural faith that looks beyond the realm of reality into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But the above scripture is talking about supernatural faith, a faith that believes with the heart rather than believing with your physical senses of what they may tell you. In other words, your taste, your see, your sight and smell, those are the physical, natural senses around us. But we do. This is a supernatural faith. We don't gain knowledge of God by this. This is a faith that believes with the heart and not with the physical feelings. First Peter talks about the hidden man of the heart. It is not the thump thump that you feel in your chest. You know, you lay your hand there and you can feel your natural heart thumping. But the heart is considered the core of something, and it is what everything else revolves around. As I was teaching them Wednesday night, you know, you have people say that talks to you and they're just going around in circles, and you know they're not talking about the real issue. In other words, get to the core of the matter. That's where it's at. It's the core, and everything else revolves around it. So when we refer to the heart, we're talking about the spiritual man that's been reborn again. And as I've told you before, that when you got saved and you accepted Jesus as your Savior and you were all excited and you couldn't wait to tell everybody about it, it's because your spirit man got reconnected back to the Creator that created you. Yes. Hallelujah. You are now one with the man, with God that created you. Glory to God. So your spirit man got reborn again. It's what everything else should revolve around. So when we refer to the heart, the spirit of a person, it's the core of who you really are. We are a spirit. We have a body. We have a soul. What you see here is not the real me. So we can look in the mirror and say, thank God. Because when you got reborn again, you left that place where you accepted Jesus, you still look the same. None of that changed. Hallelujah. And it takes a while for our flesh to line up with what we know to be the truth of the Word of God. So when you accepted Jesus, hallelujah, your spirit man got reborn again. And the Bible says renewing your mind with the Word of God. And when you are continually faithful to renew your mind with the Word of God, pretty soon your flesh will come under subjection. And you'll be able to walk in maturity in relationship with Jesus. And so the greatest revelation that you can have as a born-again child of God is the moment that you begin to get to know who you have become in the Spirit when you were born again. That is the greatest revelation a person can have. Then when that moment begins to happen for you, you will quit striving for what you've already got. And by faith, began to look into the Word who you are. Yeah. Amen? So the Word is Spirit-inspired, and it is faith food, and that is what makes our spirit man, the core of us, is strengthened by that Word. You know, it's like people that get into an exercise program, the physical instructor says always says, we need to strengthen your core. In other words, the muscles here and the muscles back. That's what brings balance. That will bring, once you get those core muscles strengthened, you will be able to bring balance to the rest of your body. And if you continue to be faithful with what the instructor tells you, you'll begin to see it outside. Does anybody get where I'm going with this? So when you begin to strengthen that inner man, the core of you, who is the really you, who is the real you anyway, the spirit man. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody, do you know where I'm going with this? When that spirit man gets to be strengthened, for a while there's maybe nothing happening. But pretty soon it's going to show on the outside. And that is what's going to bring balance to your life. It's by getting the core man, which is the spirit man, the hidden man of the heart, strengthened through the Word of God. Amen. And then everything that's out of order in your life has to come into order. Yes. Hallelujah. Everything in your life, there will be balance there like there never was before. The crazy decisions you used to make, you find you don't make them anymore. Hallelujah. You found out the way you used to talk, you don't talk that way anymore. Hallelujah. Why? Because the core of you, the real you, has begun to be strengthened with the Word of God. Hallelujah. The inspired Word of God. So God is a spirit, and He deals with us on the basis of who we are and the spirit, and that changes everything. God is a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And that don't mean coming to church and getting your praise on. Those that worship, those that live a lifestyle to God, amen. John 4:24 said, God is spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not what you just do to come in here on Sunday morning and do, but it's a lifestyle outside of our everyday walk in life.
Yes,
so now we can begin to worship God based on who we are in the spirit and not who we are in the flesh. In other words, not how we feel do we base our relationship with God on it. Those of you that are married, after a while you realize you don't base your relationship on feelings. Because some days you don't want to be. Now that's the truth. Amen. But your relationship is based on a love covenant between you and that person. And that's what our relationship with God is based on. It's a love relationship. Hallelujah. Because God so loved us that he gave. And when he gave the best. Jesus said God's words are true. John 17, 17. He says God's word is true. A truth, a fact, whether we believe it or not. We should be firmly fixed. Our mind should be firmly fixed on the fact that God's word is true. And our minds get firmly fixed when we begin to renew our mind with the truth of the word of God. God's word is true whether we have faith or not. Because we have faith doesn't make God's word true. His word is true. Our faith is given to us to believe what is already truth. Did y'all get that? You may say, well, I have great faith. Well, praise the Lord. So you may say, oh, I have faith. Now, so God's word is true. No, God's word is truth, and you've been given faith to believe what that word says. So faith is what brings the unseen into our reality. And then we begin to experience the truth of the word. When we begin to bring the unseen kingdom of God into reality. The word of God is the key to heart faith or spirit faith. It's in the Bible when you talk about heart and spirit. It's used interchangeably a lot. Talk about the heart of man, the spirit of man. Remember that is the core of who you really are. That's what needs to be strengthened and developed. Amen. So faith rests on the word of God, not our feelings. I think it's Joyce Meyer says fickle feelings. Because our emotions as humans are up and down. But the more we get our core strengthened, they will be more up than down. They will not come and go with the tide of life. That's why the enemy wants to keep you out of the word so he can keep your core from being strong. The word of God is the key to heart faith or spirit faith, the supernatural faith of God. I'm not talking about our human faith, but the supernatural faith of God rests on the word and not our fickle feelings. Our relationship with God is not based on feelings. Feelings come and go with our emotion. Our relationship is based on his word that is steadfast and sure, and as I say so many times, a settled word. And I found out if God's word is settled for him, then he's already settled it with me. It's already settled for me. So we're given faith to believe what God has already declared. What God has already declared. Our faith should stand on the uncompromised word of God at all times. So faith is simply taking God at his word and receiving it as truth. In spite of what we taste, see, smell. Our fact is God's promises, his word. Our faith is believing what that word says. And then our feelings experience and enjoy those promises that ever become a reality in our life. So a lot of times we want to go by feeling. I'll see it, I'll believe it, and I'll have faith. That's the opposite of what the word teaches. You have faith, you believe, and then you begin to enjoy what you've had faith and what you have believed in. Amen? So our feelings did experience it. Concerning faith, let's talk about two people in the Bible real quick. There is an Abraham in the Bible and there is a Thomas in the Bible. Two very different people. So I ask you a question today. Do you have a Thomas faith or an Abraham faith?
Abraham.
Thomas said, I will not believe until I can see him. Abraham, the word says, tells us he did not stagger at the promises of God, but was strong in faith. John 20, chapter 20, verse 24 through 29, gives us the story of Thomas. He was one of the 12 disciples. and was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see. How many times you heard people say, I will believe when I see. Except I shall see, Thomas says, in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my head into his side, he says, I will not believe. In other words, he said, I've got to have proof in the pudding before I believe it. And after 8 days, when his disciples were with him and Thomas was with them, Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, Peace be with you. Then he says to Thomas, Reach your finger and behold my hands. Reach your hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen, you've believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas based his faith upon his feelings, upon what he naturally could see, and his physical senses was telling him. In other words, he had to see it in order to believe it. It was hard for him to believe that Jesus was alive because he had seen him with his natural eyes being crucified. And now they were saying that he was back, which was the truth. It was a fact. But he chose not to believe what was of the truth because he had to see it before he believed it to be a fact. Don't ask me to repeat that again. He said, I will only believe when I see with my own eyes. Abraham, Romans 4:7 gives us a story of Abraham. Chapter 4:17 says, As it is written, I made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. He considered not, now that's a key word there, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. What was the key there? Abraham did not consider what was contrary to the word. He had the promise, and he knew that what God had promised was a fact, was to be a truth, and that's what he put his faith in. When everything around him said the opposite of what God had said. Everything around you can be dead to what God has said. But he said, break out of the box and believe me for something you haven't believed me before. Even though you do not see it. So Abraham believed God's word, considering not his own body, his own natural senses. He considered what? The word of God. He considered above all the natural things that said it could not happen because God had given him the promise, and he considered that word to override everything else around him. Abraham now believed God's word, considering not his own body, or its natural senses. I got one more thing to share with you. For those of you who know the ministry of Smith Wigglesworth, had an awesome ministry. And he said, I can't understand God by my feelings. And I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by my feelings. I can only understand God, the Father, and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. Don't take other people's word about God, but get into the Word for yourself and find out. Too many people, he says, try to get acquainted with God through their personal feelings. You can only get acquainted with God by your inward spirit man that's been reborn again. You know, I remember one time just crying and begging to God about something, and I just got a sense that God is not hearing me. And I'm not saying that your tears don't come up before God or anything, but if you want God to respond to something in your life, you find your word. Something that will get God turned on, so to speak. You find your word. And sometimes we need to throw the hanky away, quit crying over something. Amen. Quit praying the weary prayers and say, God, this is what your word says. Now, I come before you with the word. It's either true or it's not, but I choose to believe that it's to be a truth. Now, this is what your word says, God. Woo! I'm going to come into agreement with this word. Hallelujah. That word is for somebody this morning. You need to quit your crying and throw your hanky away and get your praise on. Come on now. You need to throw your hanky away, quit your crying, and get your praise on according to what the word has said about the situation. That is how that situation is going to change. Not your complaining about it, not your begging God about it. God only hears you when you pray in agreement with His Word, because it's inspired by the Spirit. God is a Spirit, and we worship Him. We live a lifestyle to God in spirit and truth. Amen. Put a demand on the Word. God, this is what your Word says. I am your child. Now let's do something about this situation. Amen. And he goes on to say, too many people try to get acquainted with God through their personal feelings. When they feel good, they think God has heard their prayers. Amen. Because we are hurting in pain doesn't mean that God is not healed. Because it's His Word, by His stripes you are healed. Amen. It doesn't matter if your bank account is zero. According to the Word of God, there's no lack in His kingdom. I don't know how He's going to do it, when He's going to do it, but I know He's faithful because His Word says He's faithful. Amen. When they feel good, they think God has heard their prayers. If they don't feel particularly good, they think He's not heard them. Their faith is based on their feelings, whereas it should be based on the Word of God. So I encourage you to, even as we take communion, we're going to pray a prayer that says, God, by His stripes you're healed. Amen. Breaking the bread, drinking the juice as a sign of the blood, forgiveness of your sins. Amen. That is the fact. That is the truth. So whatever you have need of today, as we take this communion, I want to encourage you to say, God, this is what your word says about it. And that when I partake of this word, I'm standing on your covenant promises that says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. That you've never forsaken me, you've never abandoned me. That you supply all of my need according to your riches of glory in Christ Jesus. That I have no lack, but I have more than enough to be blessed and to bless somebody else. Amen. Ushers, come forth, and we're going to do the communion this morning, and we're going to believe God according to His word, not your feelings. Amen. So when you get your communion, hold on to it, and we're going to say a prayer, and then we're going to take it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We have some music, please. Thank you, Father. So just close your eyes and just begin to worship God this morning. As we come into His presence to receive Holy Communion today. Oh, thank you for the opportunity, God, to worship you with this today. That you are indeed the God of more than enough. That we're in covenant relationship with you, God. That we lack nothing. Hallelujah. We come into harmony with you today with our prayers, Father. We stand in agreement on your word that you're the God of more than enough. That you have healed us, that you have delivered us, and you brought us out. And brought us into your kingdom, out of darkness into your kingdom of light. Thank you, Jesus. I just take a blessing over these people now, Father, as we receive your communion today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your word that's a truth. Thank you, Jesus. stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that we have a covenant with you, a covenant that was ratified by the shed blood of Jesus at Calvary. Because of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for us, that his blood was shed in our behalf, we acknowledge that he bore our sins, disease, sorrow, grief, fear, torment, unforgiveness, strife, and lack for us. Through the sacrifice, we have complete redemption, total deliverance from the works of Satan. And as new creation in Christ Jesus, we realize our freedom has been bought and paid for. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. And we give thanks for all of it in the name of Jesus. After this manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is in the New Testament in my blood, and this do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink in this cup, you shall show the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, we receive. Have a prayer request on your heart, just lift your hands this morning. The Lord knows what it is. We have healing on the list today, and salvation, and deliverance. Father, we thank you. The same word that we have received from you today, God, through the communion and the breaking of the bread, is for these people also. And we come into agreement with your word concerning every prayer request on this list today. And because of our covenant relationship with you, we ask you to do what you've already done, Father. Bring healing, bring deliverance, bring peace, bring salvation to every person on this in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I just speak a blessing over these people for this week, God, that they would enjoy life in their relationship with you, that it would not be stressful, God, but they would just know their covenant with you and begin to stand on that covenant, God, your word, and come into agreement with what you've already said, God, and begin to speak life instead of death. And I thank you that these people have favor this week, God, that we have favor with you this week in everything that we touch, and that we are a witness to somebody about your love and about your mercy and about your grace. Believe God for greater things are yet to come. Amen. Be blessed, church. Amen.